An innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. And we're getting everything back in order. There we go. I hope everybody survived the last 3 days. I barely did, but we did survive it, and that's the main thing. We're back for another week, hopefully a regular week. And we're honored to have returned. We try to bring Dave in the first of each year so that he can tell us what's going to happen for the rest of the year in terms of economic predictions, et cetera, et cetera. Dave Pollard, registered principal at the investment firm of Raymond James. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I got to say something about the snow.
Okay,
say
something.
I live in Bremen. We got a good snow. It was a lot of fun. Carrollton got a lot. But I'm not making this up. When I was coming down this street to pull into your studio, I met a truck that his windshield was completely covered in snow.
Right.
Thick.
Right.
I don't know how he was driving down the road.
Well, the danger about that is they go driving down the road, the snow blows off.
Well, I mean, there's no way he could see.
Yeah,
out.
And then it blows on to
he was doing fine.
A nice little old lady from Burwell, and you know, yeah. She's like, you know, that's into her. I mean, it's not. I got behind somebody this morning who had a Jeep was doing that. I think he pulled over to scrape all the big snow off the hood and the top of the car. Okay, well, that's a good program for today. We'll see.
Right.
See everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Let's talk about the snow. Forget all this economic stuff. 2025, a whole new year, a whole new administration with the previous president, but still a whole new approach, whole new attitude, whole new outlook, a whole lot of new stuff. So the question is, how is that going to be reflected in the markets?
Well, that's a good question. The problem is with that question, it's the same question that all financial advisors get is, hey, what's going to happen? And, you know, we're asked to predict the future, and we can't predict the future better than anybody else. We do have a good...
Yeah, but you study the indicators.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not crystal ball. It's not black magic.
Fair enough.
But what we do is we take the information that we know right now and try to make some sort of plan from now. But let me ask you a question, because you're an investor, okay?
Okay.
What is your mindset? What's your attitude going into 2025 as far as owning stocks, owning bonds, owning CDs, owning real estate? What is in your mind with that? Are you thinking, hey, this is going to be good, or this is going to be bad, or I'm a little cautious?
My perspective is like... I think probably most everybody that I encounter, some agree with me, some don't. Everybody should, but they don't.
How do they not?
Yeah. And I think everybody's incredibly optimistic in every realm. But this is the honeymoon period,
right?
You know. And I remember when Reagan got in, there was still a year or two that we had to struggle before the economy took off, and we had 8 years of prosperity under Reagan and two or three under HW, and then he messed everything up. But anyway, so I think everybody's very optimistic. If you think about it, that during the last 12 years, you know, of that, how many are we talking about 16 years? We talk, yeah, 16 years. The last 16 years, 12 of them have been Obama-Biden, which is the same perspective. And then we had 3 years of Trump before we had 1 year of COVID. So we've really only had 3 years of this type of make America great again, prosperous again type of approach. So I'm optimistic. Now, when reality hits after inauguration next week and we have a terrorist attack or we have whatever comes our way, then, you know, everybody, the reality will hit back. But right now, I think everybody's very optimistic.
So I think you just hit on what that's a good general idea of what most people feel right now. They're optimistic, but they're very cautious with mm-hmm. it. And we do have the, as you said, 4 years of history with Trump, three that were unencumbered, maybe is the right way to say it. And then, of course, COVID changed everything.
We had the Fauci year, but go ahead.
That's right. And so really what's happening right now, we had a, let's revisit. 2022 was horrible. Interest rates went up. 2023, returns from start to finish for the year were good on all the indexes. And you may remember that in September, October of 2023, year mm-hmm. and some change ago, mm-hmm. the thought was in the market that interest rates were going to come down as many as, it seems like the number
four.
Was four times. I was going to say six times, but it was there were going to be big cuts because inflation had turned and the economic numbers were looking like recession was taking place. Well, when 2023 got here, we actually didn't really get the cuts that were projected. It was all based on we'll make the decision when the data gets here. But the big issue now, 2024, we had a great return year. Right after the election, markets jumped up. There was the Trump trade. Interest rates talk about coming back down. So the point is that this market is being driven by interest rates. So over the past week, though, hold on. You want to make a prediction.
Okay,
So over the past week, weekend and change, now the holiday falling on Wednesday on both New Year and Christmas has caused some peculiar days for trading. But I think what we're seeing is a repositioning from what a Biden-Harris administration has been and what it could have been. I think we're seeing repositioning to what is going to be a Trump administration. In the midst of all that is the interest rates, and then what about tariffs? What about, you know, what is the dollar going to do? Blah, blah, blah. But right now this market's being driven by interest rates.
Before we hit tariffs, okay, because I was going to ask you about that. Why, to what degree is the market driven by interest rates, and why is that the case?
Well, as every time I'm on this interview with you, you ask me a question that really requires 3 hours, and I've got 30 seconds because you're looking at the clock.
We can blow out.
You're looking at the clock. Yeah. So the two really big reasons I think would be this. Number one, higher interest rates are less profitable for businesses, right? Also, that's on the investment side. So if Southern Company has higher borrowing rates, their earnings numbers are not going to be as good. So people are going to sell Southern Company. That's the general rule. On the flip side of that, for Steve Graddick, the investor, he says, you know what, if I can get 6% on a CD, or if I can get 5% on a CD or on a treasury or on a corporate bond, then that moves money away from stocks and into bonds. So interest rates in general have really got two components where they affect the most.
Why in the world should the Fed have that kind of power?
Well, the Fed, if you'll notice, a lot of times the Fed follows the bond market, but the Fed is in charge of keeping money supply where they want it. But they've stepped into some other areas that affects the market as a whole also. But if you'll watch the bond market, if you'll watch the 10-year treasury and the 2-year treasury, used to be the 30-day note. Now it's the 2-year treasury and the 10-year treasury. If you watch those interest rates, that tells you everything you need to know.
So it's not just Jerome Powell coming.
It's not just Jerome Powell. I mean, he affects the overnight federal funds rates to the banks and all that kind of stuff. But if you watch the bond market, the 10-year treasury, by the way, the 10-year treasury interest rate dropped as low as, I think, 4.3, 4.2 within the last, 3 months. I'd have to look to see the exact number. It's trading this morning at almost 4.8%, and the people go, so what? I mean, that's 0.5% difference. But in terms of where money flows, it has a big impact.
But everything you're describing is really apart from the private sector, is it not?
Well, people are buying bonds.
Well,
and, you know, institutions are buying them, and they're buying on behalf of people.
Treasury and treasury bonds are an instrument of the federal government.
They are, but the bond traders are not instruments of the federal government. It's
okay.
The bond traders.
All right.
The Treasury issues bonds to finance the government. It's the bond traders.
I guess my question is, the market's therefore...
I bet the average guy listening to this is going, I don't really care.
He probably doesn't know. Well, the average guy's listening to this, God bless him.
Right.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we could stay, like you say, for 3 hours on that.
Right.
So let's take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be back with more. I think Dave Pollard is hosting this show. He asked me the question. We'll be back with more after this.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Well, good morning. Welcome back. We're starting the week off with a firecracker of a guest here, and I don't know if we're going to make it to 9 or not, but we'll see. One thing that's been said for me the last several years, and this is kind of still dovetailing on the first segment discussion, which we were not going to completely abandon, is that the market is at unexplainable high rates, that, you know, 2,000 for the Dow or something is just nuts, and there's no reasonable explanation for it. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'm not really sure what you're asking, but how can the Dow be so high?
Yeah.
And
when we had, you know, inflation and the economy, and we're throwing, I think it was $2 trillion under Trump and $5 trillion under Biden, all this funny money into the
It seems
economy.
Like we visit this every time I come in here, and it's a great question.
It is.
How is it that the market is continuing to go higher with what seems to be in your economics classes? If you took economics in high school or college, the very fundamentals that they taught you would say that business people just can't prosper in these kind of conditions, and yet we've printed more money. I mean, it's like if we need something, just go create
money
out of thin air.
So you rephrased the question in a much superior manner. So what's the answer to it?
I don't know the answer. It's a head scratcher for me too. What I do know is that a lot of times there are different emotions that come up. Okay, when we're talking about investing money, there's the emotion of greed, there's the emotion of fear, and both of those are working at some time in tandem with each other and sometimes against each other. But here's what I know for a fact. If you want to get 8 to 10% return on your money long term,
mm-hmm.
the best place to do it is in stocks and in real estate. Now, mm-hmm. those are also the places, well, mostly stocks. Those are also the places where we bite our fingernails and scratch our head and we get all worried, is because we're looking at the headlines today and saying, oh my goodness, the market is going to absolutely collapse. I like to use this analogy, and I'll try to make this quick. And I think I've done it on this show before, but in 1982, if you had $100,000, you could go get a one-year CD, and it was going to pay you 16%. You're looking like you've heard this example. In 1982, $16,000 worth of interest on a $100,000 CD would have bought you a Cadillac. Today, if you walked in and got $100,000 and went to get a CD, the most you're going to get for a year might be 4.5, might be 4.7. That's $4,500, $4,700. You can't even buy a used Cadillac with that. So that's the effect of interest rates over time. That's the effect of inflation over time. And as inflation increases, ownership in things increases. Now, I've also used this example with you before also, that if you would have taken $100,000 in 1982 and you'd have bought Coca-Cola stock and you held it till today, the value of that Coke stock would be somewhere around $8 million today, $8 or $9 million. And it would be paying you about a 3% dividend on $8 or $9 million. That's really hard to beat, but it comes from owning something over longer periods of time. So every, 3 to 5 year periods, the S&P, especially on the 5 year period, the S&P 500 has never had a negative return on a rolling 5 year period. So what we need to be thinking about is not necessarily what's going to happen in the next 3 months, because there's a lot of repositioning going on. What's the value of my account going to be in 5 years?
And that's basically passive versus active investing.
And so that's a great point, by the way. What that means is, passive investor means I'm just putting it in something and I'm just leaving it there, and not even going to look at it. So what the passive investor is using right now is an index like the S&P 500, and for the S&P 500 is the 500 largest companies that trade on an index, and you can buy into an exchange-traded fund that represents that index, and you get the same returns as the S&P 500. Here's the problem right now. This is the issue. For the last 3, 4, 5 years, the S&P 500 has been carried by 7 companies, the Magnificent 7, Amazon, Apple, Google, whatever the rest of them are. But there's 7 companies that have been carrying the whole index because they carry the most weight. If you look under the hood of the S&P 500, you've got about 50% of them that are in an actual, 50% of the companies that are in the S&P that are actually in a bear market. What that means is that I think we're seeing a setup where the Magnificent 7 may not do so well, but the other companies that are listed in the S&P 500 may make a huge run over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, which requires active management. In other words, I need to own those companies, not just the index, because they don't make up such a percentage of it. I need to own those, and I need to be active in managing by buying and selling those companies.
Before you go to sleep. Before I ask the question I want to ask, go ahead. You use the term exchange traded fund. Give us a definition.
Yeah, so an exchange traded fund
ETF.
Is an ETF that is a, again, hopefully I can give a 30-second answer. Mutual funds are not stocks or bonds. They're a method of investing. In a mutual fund, you own shares in the fund, but it does not trade till after the market closes, which an exchange traded fund, they don't have any buying and selling going on inside the fund, and you own shares of the fund, and it trades through the course of the day just like a stock does.
Yeah, the mutual fund doesn't trade till after the market closes.
Mutual fund shares trade after the market closes. Yeah, because they have to come up with a net asset value. That net asset value comes from the companies that are in there, the number of shares that they own, the value of those companies, and it's divided by the number of shareholders. And so it's not determined until after the market closes.
I still have the follow-up question on your previous diatribe, but before I go there, you also use two terms.
All right.
And we talked about so much of investing in people who invest. You know, I feel like I'm talking to a state legislator because you they go to Atlanta and they get all emotional and they pass really bad legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So you use the terms fear and greed.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you tell your investors to deal with those both very powerful emotions?
Well, I don't tell them, hey, you're acting out of fear and greed, because if I said to you, if you called me and said, Dave, I'm just scared to death, I said to you, Steve, why are you acting like a little scared baby? You get mad at me. Or if you called and said, hey, my brother-in-law told me that I got to go buy Palantir because it's going to be the next big mover. And I said, Steve, you're acting like you're the greediest person on the – you get angry with me. From my standpoint, I have to recognize what emotion you're coming from. Are you coming from an emotional, I am scared to death and I'm going to lose money? Well, I'm not going to take – if you give me your assets to manage for you and you're scared to death, I'm not going to go take it and put it in an exchange-traded fund that's dealing in Forex and options, okay? I mean, it's just not going to be. So I want to recognize what emotion you're dealing with the person that walks in and says, you know, hey, I'm the sky is the limit. I'm a risk taker. That person's going to end up not making, he's going to end up becoming poor, just like the guy who won't do anything because he's afraid he's going to be poor also. So I try to manage those emotions in addition to managing portfolios.
Wow.
Now, if you can recognize fear and greed in yourself, if you can see, hey, I'm acting out of fear, why am I doing this? What's causing this? And it might be good reason for that. Or, man, I'm acting out of greed. Do I really believe my brother-in-law's got a crystal ball that Palantir's going to be, you know, going to go up 200% over the next, or do I believe Nancy Pelosi's the best investor on the planet? So then I've got to recognize apparently, what emotion am I working from? Most people don't realize it, though.
Okay, well, that leads into the... I still have that other question I want to come back to.
Okay.
But that leads into, you mentioned Palantir. So, and then you mentioned outside the Magnificent Seven. So what role do AI stocks have as being outside the Magnificent Seven, and are they going to be the next wave?
You know, I really think they will be. You know, when you started,
really?
Yeah, when you started hearing about AI in the business, when you started hearing about it, you know, 15 years ago, it was almost like when you heard about the internet the first time. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, what in the world is the World Wide Web? I mean, and that ain't going to change anything. Well, it greatly affected. And I think AI is going to do the exact same thing. And I think, like everything else, there is some really good stuff that AI can do for us. I mean, if they can help stroke victims and Parkinson's victims and with the brain technology, I mean, that is awesome. I also see, on the other hand, where it can be used from really bad by really bad actors to that will do great harm. So right now, I think AI is the next big thing, and it is going to make corporations probably more profitable. But I think there's going to be a balance of whether we're going to use it for the good of people or we're going to use it for bad.
Isn't it possible, though, AI has been overblown in terms of its actual technological ability?
Possibly, but it's like anything else. I mean, you again, go back to the internet. You may remember in 1999 where you had companies like Mindspring and WorldCom. Do you remember all of those guys? They were going up $50 a day. They were overblown. They were not as profitable, but everybody was gambling on what's going to be.
Dot-com bubble was
there. Yeah, the dot-com bubble in 1999, and you remember the whole world was going to end at the stroke of midnight.
Yeah, we were up. We were waiting.
Yeah, it's going to end right here.
Radio people generally stay up for stuff like that.
Well, it did cause a lot of havoc. Yeah. There's no doubt about that, but those companies did become, the internet did become profitable. Those companies went out of business. But people were betting on what was going to happen. I had a good friend of mine who is a private equity guy tell me the other day, he said, what is the weirdest thing about his business is, he said, we've got people that are throwing gobs of money into companies that are not, that are actually losing money and won't put money into companies that are actually making money. And I was like, why? That is weird. Why is that? And he said, they're betting on what's going to happen. And so I think that's what the big key with AI right now is. Money is betting on what's going to happen.
But didn't we see that when, you know, in the radio world, we went from tubes to transistors, then we went to chips, and now we're going to these GPUs or these greater chips. And
are you saying you don't play CDs around here anymore?
We still have a couple of CD players, actually. But, yeah, we went from records to tape to, you know, CDs, carts. We went through a whole progress. Now everything's on hard drive.
Right.
So it's more of a logical progression than it is a massive breakthrough. I mean, the chips are just
bigger. Sure, I think you're exactly right, but there's always the, hey, this is new and this is going to be good. There's excitement about it.
Right, and transistors change the world over tubes.
Sure.
So, you know, so that's Josh, we're going to go to 9:05 if I can make it that long, and we're going to take a break and we'll be back after this.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gredick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. Okay, the question I wanted to ask, if you went through that your discourse, discourse.
As long as it was helpful, was it
helpful?
It
was very helpful.
Okay.
It was very helpful.
That's all that matters.
Very educational. But there's a but here, which is you've got a fiat currency, which is no longer backed by hard metals. You got $36 trillion in debt. The interest is greater than the entire military budget. You've got a lot of unsettledness in this economic.
All right, let me stop you real quick. I asked you at the beginning of this thing, how did you feel about it? And you said, I'm very optimistic.
I know, but what
I'm
you're
very cautious.
But you're
But now you're sounding like you're
no,
responding from a position
I'm
of fear.
I'm optimistic now.
I'm having to figure out what emotion you're dealing with.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of emotions. I'm in radio. Anyway, but right now it's a honeymoon period. You know, we're all very optimistic. That's good. But if these problems, if the new administration cannot forthrightly head on deal with the debt, the deficit, and these types, and get us kind of on back on a sound monetary system of some sort.
I agree.
Then I don't know how we can be optimistic long term.
Well, that's a great question. And again, we're going to have to see what happens. You know, one of the things that you probably are dying to bring up is tariffs. and what, you know, what is that? Because the market is saying Trump's going to put tariffs back on these guys. And the market is saying, hey, that's going to be inflationary for a little while. That means interest rates are going up. That means stock prices are going down. Okay. So it's going to be interesting to see how this administration pulls this off. But I do think it's the right thing.
It brings
manufacturing back.
Yeah. It just affirms what I'm saying, which is, as a negotiating tool to bring manufacturing back,
right?
It's a valuable tool. However, if they're exorbitant and they stay in place long term, then it'll be inflationary. I mean, because, you know, the Reagan conservative is always about free market, free trade. Sure. And so if it's a minor tool used to bring some industries back or to level the playing field, which would be toward free market, then, you know, it's reasonable. But along those lines, let me ask you this, because I think this is an important question. How much of the stock market and how much of the world you're in the investing world, is tied to the geopolitical world, i.e. oil prices, wars, et cetera?
Well, historically, it's been very closely related, because money is going to react to what the conditions are. And quite frankly, I would have thought probably the last 4 years would have been the worst years our market has seen because of the things that you just mentioned. And truthfully, except for 2022, we have had a good market. Now, let me add to your list of things that are a problem. And we are in the honeymoon period. When we see the fires that we're seeing in California that are almost unexplainable, well, when we see the positioning that's going on in the Middle East militarily, when we hear about all the money that's going to Ukraine and Russia, regardless of what your opinion on it is, I think that causes the Steve Graddicks of the world, the average guy out there that he's making a living, he's saving for retirement, he's trying to invest his money in the best place.
Trying to pay the bills. Ugh.
It makes him look at it and go, man, there's no way this can continue to be good. But the market has been very resilient. It has been a good place to have money. The real estate market has been a great place to have money.
And this kind of brings us back full circle to kind of what we're talking about at the beginning. But the real estate market, my grandfather always said, they're not, you know, God's not making any more land.
More of it.
So that's back to the hard asset thing, is that in an inflationary time or a turbulent time, hard assets, i.e. real estate, owning your own business, whatever, generally tend to
do well.
Do well.
Yeah.
Because they maintain their
value. The way you keep ahead of inflation is by owning stuff. Now, it sounded like you're getting ready to head to gold. The gold has been the big head scratcher because of Bitcoin and because of interest rates.
Yeah, we still got time to talk about
crypto. No, we don't. We have not enough time to talk about that.
It's running this
but
show.
Here's the thing is, again, interest rates this morning are up. That means that the dollar is up, and because the currencies of the world want to go where they can get the best return safely, and that at higher interest rates here in the U.S. dollar, which also means that the value of gold has been trading
but
down.
But we don't know under this administration whether or not...
You asked me a minute ago to predict the future, and I said, all we can do is what we know right now.
But if we lose the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and we go to some sort of crypto situation, then everything is blown up, isn't it?
I mean, you know, you would think under, you know, what our basic understanding is, you would think that is the case. You know, when we went from wampums to currency, to paper currency, and from paper currency to checks, and from checks to credit cards, and credit cards maybe to the electronic currency.
We went to hard metals first, did we not?
Well, I'm just giving you a... Okay, going into complete history of it.
Okay, so that may still be in the future.
I think it's definitely in the future.
Really?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean...
Would you encourage people to invest in crypto?
No. Because I know nothing about it. I do not. I think I'll use this story, and I'm going to be transparent here.
All right, you only got 2 minutes.
I'll make it real quick. I can make this one in 30 seconds probably. I thought, you know what, acting out of greed, I'm going to go buy some Bitcoin. It was at $63,000, whatever they trade in Bitcoin.
I think it's 43 now or something, but go ahead.
Yes, that's close. And I couldn't get my checking account and my credit card and my Bitcoin account, my wallet account, I couldn't get them to interface.
Sure.
And I'm, you know, if it doesn't work for me in about 10 seconds, I'm on to something else.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what, I'll come back and do this later. I wasn't going to put much in it. But it went from 63,000 down to 18,000. And I was like, the Lord was looking out for me on that little trade.
Yeah.
So I thought it's going back to zero. And really, if I'd have been smart, I would have bought. I would have made that interchange exchange at that point, because now it's trading up close to 100,000. Who knows? You talking about? Nothing backing it.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we've got gold sitting up in Fort Knox. Okay.
We think
Bitcoin has nothing behind it.
All right. You want to outro the program, or you want me to do it?
No. You can. I'll give it back to you.
Okay. Good. Give it back to me. Anyway. We thank Dave Pollard, registered principal at the investment firm of Raymond James. If people want to learn more or get in touch with you directly, how should they go about it?
You can call our office at 770-834-4455, or you can go on our website, and you got to be RaymondJames.com/Partners Financial Group. We have a lot of people that will call and say, I went to Raymond James and I had to call Tampa to get your number. So it's Raymond James. RaymondJames/Partners Financial Group.com.
I didn't give you any trick questions, did I?
No, I gave you a couple, though, and I enjoyed it. You did well.
Thank you. I'm doing the best I can. We thank you for listening. We thank our sponsors, Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System. Okay, go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.